This is a podcast from Minute Media.
Hey, Giant fans. Welcome to the Giant Insider podcast. My name's Jerry Foley. I'm the senior editor of the Giant Insider newspaper. And with me, as always, is the beat writer, the heart of Giants Nation. Nobody beats the biz. Chris Bisignano. Chris, I think we'll start off with a little hockey. I know, maybe not everyone's a hockey fan, but I think I should mention, Chris, that the Rangers that are advancing to the second round, my Rangers, are 3-0.
Time out. The Rangers won that last series?
Barely.
Oh, I thought it was a conspiracy theory against them with the refs.
Oh, that's you can't pay
and the league and Sidney Crosby and who else? Anybody else?
You can't pay
maybe
attention.
Maybe Mario Lemieux. The league insisted on the Penguins winning, and somehow or another the Rangers beat the Penguins in spite of the referees. How ironic was it too that they got a power play in a Game 7 overtime from a fan base that was crying for 7 days, 7 games about the refs and the NHL and Crosby and oh my God. And they somehow got a power play. Interesting. In Game 7 of an overtime.
Resilience, I would say. A lot of resilience. So, first off, Chris is referring to a text probably that I sent last week.
Oh, you, dude.
I sent a text saying, you know, it's clear
first period of the first game, something about the refs.
It's clear that the NHL wants Sidney Crosby to win.
Yeah, it was clear, right.
So it was 2-0. Rangers were up 2-0. Crosby starts his usual act where he starts chirping. All of a sudden, 4 power plays to 1 in game 1. A BS call on Kako, who got thrown into the goal. Anyway, so that aside, Chris, which I get it. It was a little, I guess, one of those things where I kind of need to settle down a bit and, you know, probably think before I text. But that's how I felt at the time.
Mel Gibson movie about conspiracy theories.
That's how I felt at the time.
How about just going out playing? That would help, you know. And that's what they basically, you know, even on it. Yeah, whatever. But they move on to Carolina. So
more importantly, which I don't feel good about, Brian Daboll was at 3 of the victories at the Garden.
Well, this is the connection we're going to make here to the Giants. Brian Daboll. But I guess Kayvon Thibodeaux was 1-0 at the Garden.
Yes,
he was there at Game 7.
Yeah.
So the Giants brought some good luck to the Rangers. I mean, Daboll enjoyed. He actually talked to us last week at the rookie camp, and he was hoping to go to that Game 7, and he loved the experience of being at the Garden, the Garden's electrifying. Even though there's 19,000 conspiracy theorists there, it's electrifying.
I would say play off anything at the Garden. Knicks, Rangers.
You know, so if anybody has never, people who go to Ranger games in the playoffs know what I'm talking about. People have never been to the Garden doing a Ranger or Knicks game in the playoffs. It's second to none. I'm telling you, folks, it's second to none. So Daboll really enjoyed the experience. We saw him last week, and he was saying he's hoping to go to Game 7. He did go, and he obviously brought some. I think he was there by himself, but he brought some luck to the Rangers. So.
Yes, he did, and I'm happy about it. And I think Tuck is a season ticket holder, but Chris, all right, we'll go back to the Giants.
Yeah, Tuck's always there. Yeah,
Tuck's always there. But more importantly, for our podcast, rookie camp, you were in attendance. You know, I see video of Thibodeaux doing drills. It's hard to get excited about things like that, but you did get a chance to look at the rookies. I just wanted to get your take on the experience and maybe shed some light on what the hell you're looking for, dude, because I don't know what to look for. I see the videos. I'm like, okay, looks like a good drill.
Yeah, so look, a couple observations. Evan Neal's even bigger in person. Okay, he's a mountain of a man. Holy crap, Jerry, is he big.
Yeah.
I hate to say it, but Wandale Robinson's even smaller than I anticipated in person. Built solid, but not a big kid at all. But man, is he quick! You saw him running some routes, and he's returning some punts. And look, Jerry, he's a small kid, and is it concerning? When I first saw him in front of me, I was like, oh, this kid. He is quick. He's fast. But man, is he small, you know? And you just think about the Shep thing, you know, the concussions and the injuries, and it worries you. It does. I'm not going to lie. You know, I looked at the kid's size and I said, man, you know, I, coming from the slot, sometimes physical corners in this league, you know, a lot of physical corners. You kind of hope he stays out of that injury column, Jerry, because he's not a big kid, dude. Yeah, I mean, he's built solid, lower half, all that. Don't get me wrong, like Shep, but he's just not a big kid.
Yeah.
So we hope, you hope that kind of works out. But a lot of everything that they talked about with Robinson, Dave Syverson talked about, Rick talked about, Cervitella, you read about, you saw on TV. Of course, you don't get a real feel till you see him up close. It's true, Jerry. He's not a big kid. I don't know where the hell the 5'11 listed in a UK listed him at. It was like, oh my God, you know?
Does he even look 5'8? Does he even look shorter than 5'8?
He looks shorter. He even looks like 5'7, Jerry, to be honest.
Wow. Okay.
You know, so, but it is what it is.
Yeah.
The kid's also a dynamic talent, you know, but the size concerns me, no question about it. Thibodeau, he's got, look, you see the way he moves, Jerry. He's got that Ozzy Uemura feel about him, off that edge.
Yeah.
Which is always good. And I was pretty impressed with Ballinger, Jerry. He's a big, solid kid.
Yeah.
Looks like, he's, of course, he's just shorts on and passes and all that. I like the way he was doing things and he had a pretty good OTA. I think what's today? Tuesday. He had a pretty good OTA yesterday.
Yeah.
So he's been flashing. And look, the kid we talked about, the kid from Florida State, the undrafted running back, Corbin. He looked good. Looked good at the rookie camp. The way he was moving and stuff. And then the next day, Brian Daboll kind of, points him out and says, hey, this guy, if anybody stood out a little bit, it was DeSean, Corbin, the running back,
Yeah, he hurt the Irish this year, right? Is that the guy?
Yeah. The one in the Giant Insider last issue where I said, in my opinion, I think Shane got a steal here. Talking to some people at the facility, they thought this kid was going to get drafted like the Yusef Korkut kid. A lot of people felt he was going to get drafted, but you know how this works.
Yeah.
You don't know how a draft's going to work. Yep. Sometimes kids get drafted. We're like, what? This kid, fifth round pick? He shouldn't have been drafted. And then you got other kids who were signed as undrafted free agents. And you say, how the hell did this kid not get drafted?
Sure.
And right off the bat, Yusef Korkut is having a pretty good nice offseason. The first few practices he's at. Corbin's had a first nice few practices he's at. But, Thursday, Jerry, is another OTA where the media has access to, where the veterans and the rookies, are together now, and you're going to get a better feel for them. Any other guys? I'm trying to think. Like I said, Neil is bigger in person. He moves, dude, and he can move, Jerry. He can move, man. And Bellinger, I like. We talked about.
What about a Flott? Do you look all skinny? Right, as skinny as advertised.
Thank you for bringing him up, Jerry, because Flott is not a big kid, dude. He's not a big kid, but. He said he wants to add like around 10 pounds, 5 to 10 pounds to his frame. And because he's a physical kid, that's the way he plays, but he's not a big kid, but he's physical. Listen, he played pretty well for LSU. I hope he does, Jerry. I hope he does gain.
Yeah. Like to me, that sounds like a 2023 type of thing. Adding 10 pounds to a corner that weighs about 170, 175 or so. That just seems like it's more of a project. And that's fine if it is, but seems like a year away. I don't know.
We'll see, dude. I mean, listen, he's not a big kid, but he plays physical. And he's going to compete, Jerry. Look, we all know after Bradbury, that position opposite of Adoree is going to be a competition in camp.
Yeah.
It's going to be a competition in camp. And it's going to be, a lot of guys are going to get a look. He's going to get a look at slot. He's going to get on the outside. So it's all about competition, and he's going to be right in that mix, Jerry. The competition for one of those corner spots, bro. And get playing time in the slot, outside, all that stuff. So, look. There's so many. This kid Flott is a workaholic. First one of those, first one in, last one out, kids.
Sure.
People in LSU raved about him, raved about him. Guys who played against him raved about him. Now it's just a matter of going out there. But, you're asking what I saw. He's not a big kid. He's not. And he could add a few pounds. And like you said, Jerry, I hope he does. And he's going to have these OTAs, Jerry. Then, you get that month and a half off until you hit training camp after the mandatory camp, and then hopefully he gains a few pounds. And You know, I expect him to be out there competing, Jared. Even now, Jared, at his frame right now, I expect him out there in training camp competing for a job. You know what I mean? It's not like we have a bunch of established corners, Jared. We say, okay, sure. 2023 and all that.
Right.
No.
Right.
You got one, Adoree Jackson, then you got a bunch of, you know, competition.
Yeah.
On the other side, you know, so.
Davidson a big boy?
Yeah, yeah, he's a big boy. You know, he's a big boy. He's going to be a big boy up in that middle.
Yeah.
You know, Micah McFadden, like the way he moved, Jerry. You know, he's a kid that's going to be competing.
Yeah.
You know, he's a downhill kid, man. A kid could blitz, you know. Like him, look, one of the knocks on him, I should say knocks if you want to call it that, is like a million other kids that come out of college, even with the kid from Wisconsin who I liked. One of us drafted by the Chiefs, Jerry. Remember Wisconsin? Jerry, I said second. What was his name? Oh, my God. I'm so bad with names.
Sorry.
Anyway, another a knock on him downhill. Can't really cover. Oh, he's not really good in cover. You know, yeah. That's the knock on McFadden, you know. So we'll, that will be seen. But
oh, Chenault. Kind
of, what? Oh, you look. Thank you. Thank you for that.
I had to. Yeah.
Yeah. Leo Chenault. Chenault. Yeah. Right. That. Thank you. I couldn't. Man, I'm bad with names. So, he like that. Same thing. Knock. Oh, you can't back. You can't play back. When we're back, you can't play in space. You know.
Right.
That's the thing with McFadden. You know. Please stop. We'll see when they start getting on the field.
Yeah. You said something before about, you know, why do guys become undrafted free agents? Why do they get picked? Interesting that. A lot of draft analysts seem to be higher on Beavers than McFadden. Like, we got kind of a steal there.
Yeah.
I mean, again, dude, it's only rookie camp. I'm not expecting you to say, like, oh, man, he looks like Banks. But you see anything with him?
No, just that they, you know, look, just watching him in drills. And they did a little seven, you know, a little 7-7. And he seemed to move well. But you know what, Jerry? Next podcast, will get a little better feel because, you know, the veterans will be out there.
Cool.
They'll be doing 11s. They'll be doing 7s, you know?
Yeah.
And you could get this, get a feel a little bit more. But one thing I do want to bring up, listen, we all know how bad the Giants' red zone offense has been, okay, the last few years. They've been 31st, 32nd, always hovering around that, right?
Yep.
So the first OTA now, Monday, yesterday, with the, you know, with the rookies now with the vets and all that, Mike Kafka and Brian Daboll really emphasize that red zone. They really emphasize that red zone. So that's going to be the focal point, man. I mean, as it should be. And they're emphasizing big time Saquon Barkley. Okay? As they should, Jerry, because let's face it, that is something that needs to be fixed. It was a disaster under Jason Garrett and Freddie Kitchens.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and this is going to be that. This is going to be Brian Daboll, well, among, you know, amongst many, but this is going to be one of Brian Daboll and Mike Kafka's main challenges, Jerry, is that when they get in that 20-yard line or they get in that high red inside the 10, hey, you got to get it in the end zone, Jerry, to win football games, you know? And they're really working that out already. I expect to see a ton of that this summer. Well, they got to get that right, dude. And, of course, what helps getting it right is a healthy Saquon Barkley. And yesterday they were throwing again out of the, you know, out of the backfield to Saquon inside that 10, you know. A lot of short. They're using Bellinger, the big kid, you know, inside the 10. Darius Slay. So, you know, that's something has to get fixed, Jerry. Brian Daboll's offense last year up in Buffalo was 7th in the league in red zone offense. 7th. Now, I understand Josh Allen. I understand, you know, the Diggs. I understand the talent and all that. But still, you got to scheme right. You got to execute it in. You know, Mike Kafka comes from a program, Jerry, that we all know, right? Andy Reid and his red zone offense. It seems like every time they're in the red, they score a touchdown, right? Yeah. I mean, with Andy Reid. Yeah. You know, that is going to be so huge to this offense. Daboll, Kafka, working together, Jerry, and what they come up with to, you know, to get that 3 out of there and put 7s on a board. Come September, you know.
If they improve the red zone offense to at least respectability, I mean, it'll be such a relief for Giant fans. It's funny, Chris, because one of the biggest challenges they're going to have, I don't even think it's a big challenge. I think what I should say, let me word it this way. I think the biggest impact they will have on this offense is utilizing Kenny Golladay more appropriately. And a lot of that's going to be in the red zone. I really do. I haven't given up on Golladay. I know a lot of people have.
Yeah,
I think he can. I think he can have a very good year for us. And I think a lot of that can be in the red zone. He's a big receiver. So, yeah, look, and not to go all the way back, but even under Coughlin, for as good as the Giant offense was, it wasn't a great red zone offense, if you remember. It almost like it was almost like, guys, back up to the 40 so we can throw a bomb to Cruz, Nix, or Manningham. Like, we don't like inside the 20. You got to do more than just call it the green zone, right? And that's what they kind of did. That's so it will be very nice to see, you know, any imagination, even just a fade route, you know, a corner route, anything with
tight ends, Jerry. Tight ends.
Right, sure, yes.
You know, and of course, 26.
Right. Right.
You know, and look, I understand there's nowhere to go but up because they, you know, they've been on the bottom. But I'm, you know, I just, you know, you want to see it improve up to the 20s. You know what I mean? Like 21st, 20, 8, 19, 18, not 30, 31, 32.
Right.
You know, that's what I'm talking about. And I think it will under these two guys, you know. I think it will. And these two guys have established, you know, I know Kafka was a quarterback coach, but he did learn under Bieniemy and Andy Reid, who's one of the best.
Yep.
And Dable was calling the show, you know, calling the offense in Buffalo, and he's had successful red zone. So that's something, Jerry, I mean, that's got to be a positive going into this season, training camp, all that, you expect that red zone offense. And I'm pretty anxious to see Thursday, Jerry, if they do a lot of red zone in front of us and what exactly they're doing.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? What exactly they're doing in the red zone.
Right.
You know, so to me, like, I know it's still a little early, training camp's a couple months away, but Jerry, that's one thing I'm going to be watching very closely. This training camp is exactly how they're scheming up red zone. You know what I mean? And what exactly what they're doing. I think Saquon, Jerry, is going to be a huge part of that, man.
Yeah, and look, man, if Saquon's healthy, right, and this is where I become kind of a buffoon, right? I look at Saquon, I look at an underused Galladay, I look at a whole new offense, I look at a new right tackle, an improved, at least on paper, offensive line, Daniel Jones behind it, a healthier Shepard, an engaged Kadarius Toney. Chris, what am I missing here to think that we can't function, right? Like, I'm looking at this like, all right, I'm not saying 14 wins, but I think competitive. No.
Well, what do you mean? Win-loss record? Or
no, like offensively, we won't embarrass ourselves offensively.
Yeah, sure, bro. I mean, that's what you're looking for. That's what you expect, right?
Right.
I mean, do you remember last year, Jerry, was it in Washington? Where they were in the red zone and Galladay was off the field and Galladay was on the sideline.
Was it
Galladay
and
somebody else was on the sideline? Was it Garrett, Ingram?
It was Galladay and Garrett, and Jones was kind of not pulling him away, but getting in the middle a little bit.
No, Jerry, but actually on the field.
Oh, yes.
Galladay was on the sideline. I think Evan Ingram was on the sideline, if I remember right. And people were like, what the hell are these guys doing on the sideline? Remember?
Right.
So that's, you know, little things like that. It's like, well, you don't expect to see it out of Brian Daboll and Mike Kafka.
Right.
You know, Galladay's one of their weapons. So when they get inside the 20 and the kid's Galladay's 6'5", whatever the hell he is, I think we're going to want him on the field.
Right.
I mean, I remember last year, I think it was the Washington game.
It was the Washington game. That's it.
And I remember everybody was like, well, what the hell's he doing on the sideline? You know? So, you know, that's something I don't think you're going to see this year. You know, they got, like you said, Jerry, they got the weapons, dude.
Yeah.
You know, the offensive line hopefully will be improved. You know, and so let's get that red zone going. And I think they're in good hands here with Daboll and Kafka as far as scheme-wise, you know, the different schemes they're going to come up with. And don't forget, you got Daniel's legs too, Jerry.
Right.
You know, Josh Allen was a weapon.
Right.
In that red, Josh Allen was a weapon. He could take off. Daniel Jones could take off too, man, you know? So.
Who was the tall? I'm trying to think of this. Who was the tall receiver we had? And I think it was the Atlanta game where we just kept throwing to him, and it was like, what the hell is this? And it was because.
Colin Johnson?
Yeah. Yes. That's who it was. Johnson? And it was, we were utilizing him, and I thought, okay, good for Johnson, but why would. Well, that's how the matchup played itself out. Like, that's what I mean by the overthinking. So it's going to be fun, I think. You look at, you know, a healthy Barkley, and obviously we don't know what the future holds for him. We think we know what the future holds. He's going to have 3,000 yards to return here. But it's going to be fun watching him, I think, with some imagination and an improved line. And I don't care how many times you tell me about Will Rout, I'll still believe you. You know, I can be the Lucy to your Charlie Brown, or the Charlie Brown to your Lucy. You pull the ball out. Oh, no real routes today. But yeah, I think it's gonna be fun. So,
speaking of wheel routes, and speaking of little flat routes, I put out something on Twitter the other day. So, I'm watching this guy with a white shirt on and sunglasses, throwing balls.
That was funny.
To the running backs, and I was like, I'm looking right, Jerry. I'm like, nah, that can't be. That looks like Joe Shane, you know? Yeah. And I moved over, and there's Joe Shane, the former Indiana quarterback, throwing balls. And boy, I was not impressed, Jerry. Like,
yeah, that's great.
Joe, what are you doing? You know? So then I was like, this is all tongue-in-cheek, folks. You know, I'm like, missing guys, not leading guys out of the backfield. Then he was throwing some seam routes, some tight spirals behind receivers. But Joe Shane, not good, Joe. I wasn't impressed, Jerry, at all with his quarterback skills. I'm looking forward to watching Daniel Thursday and Davis Webb and Tyrod Taylor throwing balls. Or get Shane the hell off the field. I don't want to see him out there again, Jerry. I was disgusted with our GM. Disgusted.
Yeah. It was kind of cool to see, but at the same time, it's like, hey, Joe, just keep with the analyzing, keep with the cap and the drafting and the trades and the free agent acquisitions, buddy. Do not quit your day job, Joe.
Jerry, it was strange because they only have one quarterback on the field.
Yeah.
And, you know, and that was Lewerke, you know, and even a couple of guys I was with, they were like, well, usually, you know, with these rookie camps, Jerry, they could grab, like, say you walk by, hey, Foley, can you throw? Come on out of here, you know?
Yeah.
And they get guys from Montclair State. They get guys, you know, they call up this guy. Listen, come tomorrow. We need some arms to throw. They only had one, which was a little different. It was a little different watching that.
Yeah.
And then Shane started throwing some balls, and then, I ordered the hook. Get him out of there. You know, get him out of there, Shane. But he held his own, Joe. But it was very, very interesting to watch it. I'm like, everybody was like, looking like, is that Shane? You know, he was enjoying himself. Hey, Jerry, these two guys like to communicate with these players, to communicate with everybody in the building. I've mentioned this before, dude. This doesn't win football games, but all I'm telling you is that these two guys are loved by people in that building, bro. Loved. And they treat everybody with respect, very humble guys. And
good to hear that.
Look. It's all part of the process, all part of building. That doesn't, you know, make you win games September. We all know that. But it's good to hear, Jerry. Put it that way. Because, you know, like I mentioned before, and I'm not going to get into it too much, you know, it got a little tense around the building with Judge.
Yeah.
You know, the last year and everything like that. So it was good. It's good to hear, dude, you know.
Speaking of Love Fest, Thibodeau handled himself really well with the media, no?
He absolutely did. Absolutely.
He's saying all the right things, dude. I mean, this was guy with a – we got it. It's funny. This guy has a personality issue.
Like, yeah.
Okay, so he gave an incredible sum of money to get number five.
Right.
Right, to Gano, who's now nine. And I will say this. If he starts missing, I'm blaming the number. But anyway,
blame the number.
As a kicker, don't –
you're going to hear that, dude.
Oh, man, wouldn't change
that first kick
thing.
September? Yep.
I would tell Thibodeau as a kicker, if I was the kicker of the Giants and he said – I'll give you this much for your charity. I'd say, listen, I will give you anything except my number. I mean, what do you want? My house? Like, especially with the success Gano has. But anyway, hopefully that's just my thinking. But anyway.
Jerry, he misses that first field goal in the first game. Believe me, a lot of people are going to be thinking that.
First thing I'm going
to
think
of. Five.
Right. You know? Give it back, Thibodeau. You'll get sacks with nine.
I mean, what did Gano was? It was last season. He broke the record, right? Gano for the Giants, right?
Oh,
so,
my God, yes.
But look,
anyway.
Jerry, getting back to Thibodeau.
Thibodeau.
Like you said, listen, he's an engaging guy, man. He's an engaging young man. The way he speaks, like, he was great. You had to hear him, man. I'm like, wait a minute. This is the guy that, you know, that people are saying, oh, well, you know, a little afraid. He's very confident. Jerry, the best part is that, you know, I've heard that the kid's very confident in himself. But you know what, man? You know, standing in front of him, I asked him the first question, you know, how was it to get out there? And he looks at me, he's engaging. And nothing like, well, yeah, I expect this. Yeah, I knew I was going to go out there. I probably could kick anybody's butt, but I saw him. I just thought it was great. I thought he was great, you know? And I think he's going to be a great guy to cover all year. You could tell he's very engaging, and you could tell he's gonna probably say what he feels, you know. He's not going to give the standard answers. You know, I think he's going to be one of those guys. You know, they lose a game and hey, Tibbs, what happened out there? I'll tell you what happened. I sucked. You know, he's one of those guys. You know, I didn't do my job. And this and that. He's one of. I was very impressed, Jerry. Very impressed. I know we have a long way to go. Probably, we're going to see him. But just the way he was talking, I was like, wow, just so impressive, man.
I've always said
he loves it, man.
Yeah, it's funny, dude. I look at defensive players, especially like a defensive end, linebacker, corner, guy who chirps a bit. I kind of want that on my defense. And I know it's more I'm talking about he's with the media, but the confidence, you kind of need to ooze confidence at that level. I'd rather have that at those positions than my quarterback. I like the Eli Manning and for look, Daniel Jones, he's flaws aside, I like the way he handles the media. He's very humble. But I don't mind that attitude, man. I kind of relished that. I want that. And I watched him with you guys. I thought he handled himself so well. And he didn't come off cocky at all. He just came off, confident, but also a lot of things he said about, the being around the organization, like as a dream come true for him. And
I mean,
who doesn't want to hear that?
He was like, Jerry, there was one question. He just, he put his arms out. He's like, look, MetLife Stadium.
Right.
Giants facility, whatever he said. Oh, Giants. Yeah. He goes, what's better than that? He goes like that. He goes, this is my dream come true. This is great.
Yeah.
And you know what, Jerry? I can look at people and say, oh, this kid's so full of crap. He's just saying his stand there. Oh, you dude, he was 100% mentored, man. You could just tell the way he was talking. He loves it. Jerry, you could see this kid just loves being in New York, dude, in New Jersey. He loves it.
Yeah.
You know, he's taking the Ranger game in. He's taking the whole experience in. Yeah. You know, he's tweeting, let's go Rangers. And what I think he threw something out after the game, too. We won or whatever it was. And he's just taking it all in, dude. You know, he loves it, bro. He loves it. Jerry, can you ask for more? Of course, he has to do it on the field. We know that. But, hey, this kid looks like he is taking in the whole experience and more. He just wants to be part of this, bro. You know, so.
Anything
good sign,
else?
Giants fans. I'm telling you, good sign with this kid.
Anything else stand out with the rookies? Anyone else at the podium or
Brian Daboll asked a few guys if he could punt. He said, "You think he asked a few of us. You think you could actually punt 30 yards on the field?" And one guy actually said, "Yeah." And Daboll didn't. He looked at him, didn't take him up on it. It's understandable. And he had fun with that. Anybody want to throw? Daboll is engaging, dude. He's an engaging character, he likes that. He's a very down to earth dude, man. I was thinking about jumping out there trying to pin one inside the five, Jerry, but I said, let me not make a fool out of myself. I'll stay over here.
There goes the hamstring.
There goes everything. Quad, hamstring, the rest of the golf season, everything. So I decided to stay on the sideline like a buffoon that I am and not be an idiot and actually go out there, because I have Jerry, it was one of those things where you had a feeling that after practice, if you said, hey, coach, give me a shot, he'll be like, okay, get me after practice. I'm telling you, he's one of those type guys, have fun. He wants to have fun, dude. He wants to engage with the media. That's the way Daboll seems, man. He's just a fun, you saw him at the Ranger game, dude. He was into it, you know what I mean, Jerry? He loves it, man. He loves his players. He talks about all these guys, And Shane's a young guy. Let's not forget, Gettleman was, 69, 68, older guy. This kid, Shane, he's 42, 40. He looks like he's 30,
He does,
I think a lot of fans are really looking forward to the season, Jerry. And I think most fans are going into the season like, okay, we're not going to the playoffs. We get it, right? Mm-hmm. This is the feeling I get. We're not going to go to the playoffs, but we expect a lot of progress. We expect a foundation built here with this draft. And Joe Shane's going to knock it out the next draft. And boom, 2023 on, we're rolling. I think that's the feeling of the Giants fan base right now. That's the sense I get, Jerry. I don't know about you. That's the sense I get.
It's so fun. I'm laughing here, dude, because, all right, this is the way I look at the Giants, and this is the way I look at the other sports, right? I don't expect the Rangers to win this next series. I'm not just saying that because I'm trying to do superstition thing. I don't think they'll beat the Carolina Hurricanes. I just don't.
Right.
It's so hard for me to admit that the Giants are a 7-win team or a 6-win team. It just it just is. And I know that's being a buffoon, but I just look at this.
What do you mean?
Team.
They're going to be less?
No.
Or more?
I think they could be more.
Oh, could be more. Okay.
I think they could be more.
I don't know where
more.
You're going with that. Okay.
I just don't want to concede it. Looking at the offense, looking at the improvements they've made, a whole new system, I looked at the schedule. Now, Chris, I understand it is the dumbest. It's even dumber than mock drafts when you look at a schedule and go, loss, loss, win, win, loss, 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 win, 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 win.
A la Mike Francesa. Yeah.
It's stupid. It's ridiculous, right?
Right, right.
But if you're looking at it now based on last year and then the additions they've made and you're just getting a feel for it, I there's no other week I'd rather play the Tennessee Titans than week one. And I look at the rest of them and I go, I don't know, man. Is 9 wins that absurd from this? I'm not saying playoffs, but 9-8? I don't know, Chris. Whatever. And we'll get there, guys. We have all summer to argue and debate. But it's just so much harder for me with the Giants to say, yeah, it looks like a 6-win team. And I try to be honest about it, but I honestly look at this and say, I don't know, the additions we've made, if things fall the right way, I could see 9 wins. So,
mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, look.
Whatever.
Look. Like you said, Jerry, that's something to debate down the road. I don't think that's idiotic to say that. You know, we'll have to see how these kids play. You know, you have to see, you know, how they look in camp. And of course, when the season starts, dude, you know, you have to see. But I totally get what you're saying, bro. I totally get what you're saying. And like you said, you know, Tennessee's a better football team. They were number one seed last year, right?
Yeah.
But if anybody forgets, you know, like what Jerry's saying, I think what Jerry's saying is that, you know, when you get a really good squad like this, you as a better team, you want to get them week one because you don't know what the hell you're going to get.
Right, right. And they don't know us.
And if anybody forgets, Arizona went into Tennessee last year and smoked them opening day. Smoked them.
Right.
That's what Jerry said. I'm not saying the Giants are going to smoke, but I think that's what you're getting at, right?
And they don't know us. We have a whole new coaching staff, a whole new everything.
So, you know, I think that's what you're saying, right? And Jerry, like, you want to get a guy like that. So, yeah, you know, and then what, you know, I think what Jerry's saying too, I think I could speak for me a little bit. You know, you come home against Carolina and then you got Chicago and you look at it and go, all right, we can get off to a good start here.
What do you say? You know, you always say, these aren't the 78 Steelers.
Exactly. So. You know what I mean? So, you know, we'll have to see it on the field. Look, still have to see how Neil plays.
Yes.
You know, does he struggle year one? We don't know that. You know, we don't know until they start getting out there, you know. Of course, Daniel's a big question mark, but this is all, you know, all questions we could start answering as we go into August and the preseason games and, of course, obviously into September and all that. I tell you what, Jerry, just not to go too much in the future here, but I am going to go a little bit into the future, okay?
Mm-hmm.
If the Giants go into Tennessee and just lose a tight game.
It's like a win.
Lose a tight game.
Yeah.
I think people will start looking at it. Well, okay, we got Carolina, we got the Lions, we got these guys, got, you know what I mean? Hey, why can't we win 7-8? Like you just said, you know what I mean?
Right.
That's, you know, so that's you know, that's, but that's all for down the road and it'll all be fun and we'll see, you know, the progress. And look, Jerry, we're going to see what Daniel Jones is in this offense, in Dable's offense. You have to hope Evan Neal plays well his rookie year. Listen, we don't know that yet.
Thank you for bringing him up because I want to say this before I lose my train of thought again. I lost it twice and you just brought it back. Syvertson on the podcast said he compares him to Kareem McKenzie. In Syvertson's analysis, that was his floor, Kareem McKenzie. I forget who the ceiling was. So I just thought to myself, wow, the floor is Kareem McKenzie.
That's a pretty good floor.
I might cut off like a finger to get Kareem McKenzie back on this team. And we just, you know, if that's the floor, like you said, that's a pretty good floor, considering the disaster that we've had for 10 years at right tackle.
I mean, Kareem McKenzie was, man, was he underrated, good, right?
Holy
crap, was he good at right tackle for the Super Bowl team. And,
yeah.
And like you said, Jerry, if that's the floor, we'll take that, brother.
Oh my God.
You know what I mean?
Sign up now. Success. So,
but, you know, we all have to remember the kid's just a rookie. Andrew Thomas struggled big time his rookie year, you know.
Right.
Especially those first 8 games or so, right? He struggled. So, you know, Evan Neal's over here, and he's just a rookie, and we'll have to see how that works out, you know.
Yep.
But it's nice that he has a veteran, though, Jerry, next to him. You know, that's big, bro.
Huge.
That's big.
Huge.
You know, Gawinski's been through the football wars. He's in the league a while. He'll learn off Gawinski. Recognition, stunt recognition, twist.
Right.
What they're doing up front. You know, that's huge to have a veteran next to you, bro.
Yep.
Huge, you know. And then next to Mark is going to be probably Feliciano, another veteran that's going to help, you know. And now Andrew Thomas, hey, guess what, Jerry? Andrew Thomas, not a rookie anymore, bro. 3 years. He's like borderline veteran now. You know, was it 4 years you could start calling guys vets?
Yeah, yeah.
No, he's been through the football wars now. And then whoever wins the left guard spot, which could be a veteran too, and Max Garcia. So got a lot of guys, Jerry, up front for Evan Neal. What I mean by that is you got a lot of veterans that have seen every damn thing on the field. And if you don't think that's huge for a rookie, because what they do, Jerry, during the week, say, argument's sake, first game Tennessee, and you're gonna have Bud Dupree, right? And you're gonna have Harold Landry, and they're gonna do some twists, and they got Jeffrey Simmons. So they look at what Tennessee does, and Gawinski, Jerry, Gawinski, Feliciano, Max Garcia's, they're gonna point out every damn twist and stunt and everything they like to do to this kid Evan Neal before his first game. And when they get up to the line of scrimmage, the first snap of the game, Jerry. First and 10, Giants on their 25, right? You know what? First and 10,
Yeah, we're 25. We know. The ball went out of the end zone.
Wendell ran it back 50 yards. First and 10.
I'll take it.
Okay. We're in midfield. Right? And they come up to the line of scrimmage, dude. And the Titans are showing the look. They're showing the look. Well, guess what? Gawinski's going to do it. He's going to do something. Again. He's going to be tall. You know, they're going to be prepared. Dude, veterans are huge, Jerry.
Yeah.
For a rookie. It's huge for a rookie next to him. You know what I mean? Yeah. I'm not saying that's going to make him Pro Bowl. I'm just saying because when these kids come from college, Jerry, in their first three, four, five, six games against a professional defensive coordinator, dude, this ain't playing. You're not playing freaking, you know, Auburn. And no matter how good they are, these schemes at this level, what they show the looks is a whole different planet, dude.
Yeah, right.
And these kids, you know, it's like, hey, man, what the hell is this in front of me? It helps to have that veteran. That's all I'm saying. It will help to have the Felicianos, the Glowinskis, even the Max Garcias, even though he's on the left side, and all that stuff. So it's going to be huge, dude, for the progress of Evan Neal's.
Chris, we're going to take a break, and we'll be right back. Hang on, guys. And we're back. So you see Garcia starting off at left guard, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's early in the day, but I'm going to go with the veteran right now.
Yeah.
You know, and then let him lose the job to the third round pick, you know, Joshua there.
Or Lemieux.
Or Shane Lemieux is healthy. You know, he's participating.
Yeah.
Am I going to discount Shane Lemieux? No, I'm not.
Yeah.
I'm not. You know, I just think the veteran's going to win it at first. I don't see anybody unseating him. But Garcia is just, Jerry, I'm not going to bullshit you here. You know, Max Garcia is just an average guard. He's an average guard. He's a serviceable guard. He's a stopgap. He's a stopgap guard.
Is Feliciano slightly above him at center, or is it
the
same
level? Yeah, slightly above, and he's just, you know, he's playing center again, and there's nothing special about Feliciano. He's a veteran, but, you know, he's another one, you know what I mean? So I'll go with the veteran Garcia for now and let him lose it in training camp. You know, see how Shane Lemieux looks and the third-round pick and all that, so.
Yep. All right, dude. Before we get to questions, is there anything else you want to cover?
No, that's it. A little OTA Thursday.
Because we appreciate the perspective with you there. So thank you.
Yeah. In all honesty. Yeah. So we'll see what goes on Thursday. And then we'll talk next week about what they're doing and what they're doing on the field. You know, we're getting a little feel, of what Dable's thinking and what Wink is thinking. And all that. A lot of man. Even the other day with rookie camp, Jerry, Wink Martindale got him in man. Single high man. It's amazing, man. You know? I mean, that's what you're going to see, folks. Well, like I said before, Wink's not going to give a crap who's on the field. He's going to do his thing. So
It's going to be awesome and maddening at the same time. There's going to be times where you go, oh, no, man. Why would you do that? But then there's going to be times where you love it. So
yeah, you're going to have those weak moments where you're going to be like, oh, why are we in that defense? I'm telling you, it's going to happen. But this is his philosophy.
He'll do it with anyone, right? Like, he'll do that with any corner.
He's going to be aggressive, man.
You know, it's almost like he comes in and is like, guys, this is my defense. You have to give me good corners.
Like, the big difference between Graham and Wink is going to be, you know, Graham a lot of times felt he didn't have the corners.
Yeah.
You know, and he would play that a lot of that cover three, you know.
Yeah.
Cover four, where Wink is like, what, Foley's out there? You know, you got Jerry Foley right out there, Wink. I don't give a shit. All right, and he's going to play that tight man, cover one, and the whole deal. So he'll throw that cover zero, the whole deal. So,
yeah. All right, dude. We'll start off with Derek. Guys, thanks for the questions. Again, you guys always come through for us, so thank you. Derek at D-Wins. I've been baffled at NYG personnel decisions in recent years. We all have. Do you think this regime is committed to giving young players snaps and developing them, or are we in for another year if he's not ready, especially not as we're projected to be a playoff team? I mean, I think we're going to play the young guys, Derek. I don't think there's going to be any of that, you know, he's not ready BS.
Well, look, if the kid's not ready, he's not ready. But they're not going to go in saying, well, you know what, we're going to lean towards the veterans. You know, I know, look at rookie. No, whoever earns it, brother. That's what Dable said from day one. Whoever earns it, earns it. They're going to win it on the field.
Chris, do you want Kyle Johnson's question or no?
Yeah, go ahead.
Well, the Red Sox.
Oh, my God. I know some Yankee fans very chatty now. The same Yankee base. Same Yankee base that after 2 weeks of the season wanted Boone fired. They stink. Cashman's the worst GM in baseball. Yes. Now everything's great. Oh, I see guys taking shots. Hey, Chris, you're not opening your mouth about the Red Sox. Okay.
So Yankee fans are brutal. I admit it. Ranger fans are bitching. Almost seems it's a totally different dynamic, it seems.
Oh, my God.
But the Yankee fans, so this is it. Kyle Johnson, right? He's the classic Yankee fan. Will the Red Sox
this ought to be good.
Will the Red Sox be worse than the Orioles? I'll hang up and smile while listening.
Kyle, I love you, bro. I love this Kyle. I do. I love him. I think he's great. Kyle, I think the Sox have won 5 of the last 8. I think they're playing a little bit better. I think they will finish in front of the Orioles. Yes.
You answered it perfectly. Nice.
I think they will. I think that's it, though, Kyle. I think we're in that 4 spot, and that's where we're going.
Yeah, Chris, early on, talk radio was this Yankee team doesn't have it. They're doomed.
Oh, dude, they were getting destroyed. Killed. Off-season? What kind of off-season was
murdered.
That?
Murdered. Yeah. Best record in baseball now. But
oh, all I heard was people calling a fan, Yankee fans, oh, Cashman should be fired. Why is he still got a job? This and that. They didn't make any moves. Why didn't you sign Correa? Oh, my God.
Yeah, no, you're right.
You got to let it play out, bro. You got to let it play out. You know, it's, you know, I mean, the Yankees can come back there too, you know, and start coming back to the pack. But, you know, we're 2 months in almost, and they're playing. That's why you got to give baseball 2-3 months before you start, you know, destroying people.
Yeah, that's
and true. In hockey, I don't want to mention any, you know, people. In hockey, you might want to give them more than 2 periods before, you know, you start coming
before you start claiming conspiracy theories.
Wild theories. And Sidney Crosby theories.
It's also going to be a different series because the venom is not there for Carolina that it is with the Penguins. I find them a despicable franchise. Going back to Lemieux, I cannot stand that arrogant franchise that they are. But you're right. Probably should have given it more than 2 periods before I claimed that the NHL wanted Sidney Crosby to win again.
Oh, my God. I sat back reading Twitter. I'm like, wow, this is unbelievable.
Anyway, here we go. Brian Fitzgerald kind of answered that one. Daniel Bolden, Chris, are the Giants going to run a 4-3 or 3-4 defense under Martindale? Is Thibodeau going to play with his hand in the dirt or be a stand-up pass rusher? Thank you for your time. Let's go, Giants.
Well, yeah, he'll be both, you know, and Wink's base defense is 3-4.
Yeah.
Which you'll get one play out of the series, and then, you know, and then he does all different things. So the base defense is 3-4. That's what Wink's base defense. Where you're going to see, you know, a lot of Dexter, Justin Ellis and Dexter, you know, maybe over that center, you know. And then that's his base defense. Always has been. Always had big Brandon Williams in the middle. And then you're going to see Thibodeau doing a lot of different things. Thibodeau? Am I saying that right? Which one is it? Thibodeau.
I always say Thibodeau.
There's no H, so Thibodeau, right?
Right.
Okay.
D. Wells, 05. Yeah, Tibbs. They call him
Tibbs. I'm going to call him Tibbs.
Nice. There you go. Is our receiving room better now than in the last few years? Love the Wandale pick. Long term, but are we just one Golladay injury away from unacceptably limited weapon situation for DJ? We said it before, man. There's so many questions at receivers that it's feast or famine to me. Like Tony could explode. You saw what Tony can do when he's healthy and engaged. Golladay, they have to get him involved. You know, Robinson, you know, Chris is saying he's very smaller than advertised, but explosive as hell. Shepard's health. It is feast or famine for me. I see this either working out beautifully or just, you know, we need a receiver in the offseason.
Yeah, there's a lot of question marks. Even Slayton, right? I mean,
Slayton's another one.
Listen, it's a lot of question marks because Shep's not coming back to what, October?
Right, right.
Golladay has to rebound, you know. Wandell's a rookie. Then you got Tony, you know, and obviously yeah. Tony, him and Robinson, two explosive guys. But we'll see, you know, how it works out. But this might be an off season. Like, let's go out and get a true number one, Jerry. You know what I mean?
Right.
If Golladay doesn't rebound a little bit, and
right.
A lot of people feel this is going to be Golladay's last year as a Giant. Because contract wise, right? A lot of people feel like that. So, a lot of question marks at the receiver position, man.
Oscar Nieves, I'm finally going back to NYC for Memorial Day weekend. What must I go see? Where must I go eat? And what do I need to avoid? I have 4 full days. Now, Oscar, you're probably going to Manhattan. I don't think you're going to Brooklyn. So, any advice for him, Chris? I would avoid like the Empire State Building, and I mean, I know you want to go and see that stuff, but like, that just seems like a tourist trap. Like, it's going to be crowded, and you know, I'll be honest with you. Memorial Day weekend, go see the 9/11 memorial. That is awesome. Been there a bunch of times. It's beautiful. It's respectful, and it's even if it's crowded, it's wide open. You know, that's one thing to do. As far as eating in Manhattan, any advice, Chris?
I don't know, man.
You're
the Manhattan guy, bro, more than me. I don't know.
There's a lot of good steakhouses. I would go to one of the steakhouses. Obviously, you can go to a Capital Grill, the Strip House.
Send them to a strip club?
I thought it was too. When someone gave me a gift card there, I go, what the hell is this? No, the Strip House. It's awesome. If you want to go, take her there.
Well, I would imagine, Jerry, up at Upper East Side, the Smith and Walensky still open.
There you go. Yes.
Are they still open, Jerry? You know more than me on this.
Yes, yes. Okay. Yeah, that's a good one, too. Bunch of, like, Lydia's places, too, those Italian restaurants. That lady Lydia. And Italy. That's another one. Italy, right by the 9/11 Memorial. That's an awesome place. By that guy Hell's Kitchen. That, not Gordon Ramsay, the other lunatic. Anyway, all right.
Yeah, I know you're
talking. There you go, Oscar. I think we gave you a good run there. All right. Oh, man. Okay, let's ask this one. G. Romo, Jerry and Chris, love the coverage, analysis, and honest feedback. I am one of a phasing out breed of diehard Giants fans in Massachusetts. Makes a comment about the Red Sox I won't read. Do you think Martindale will use pretty much all 25 guys on defense? 25 corners, maybe.
He loves versatility, so you're going to see a lot of different guys playing different positions out there. That you will see.
All right. Dan Henn. We'll do a few more. Do you see Carter Coughlin and Cam?
What do you say about the Red Sox, that guy?
I just don't want to pile on. It will be a long, tough year. Oh, no. He's commiserating. Sorry, Chris. It will be a tough, long year for our Red Sox. All right. So he's a Red Sox fan.
He's right.
That's fine.
He's right.
I don't want to pile on with this.
That's the way it's looking. He's right.
Yeah. Here's a good one. Bobby L at Sports Freak NJ35. Who has a bigger impact in year one, Neil or Thibodeau, and why? Ooh, that's a good one.
Ooh, that's a good one. Bigger impact? I'm going to go with Thibodeau.
I'm going to go Neil. Because of how bad it was. That's why. Neil's good, but Thibodeau might be great, but the difference between the Matt Pair. Matt Pair and everyone behind him for the last 10 years. Yeah, right. Right, exactly. to Neil will be felt, I think, right away. Carrie Feliciano, any chance we can get a buffoon crew?
Now, you're right about that, Jerry. If Neil comes out of the box playing well, that's going to be felt.
Yeah.
That impact will be felt, bro.
Yeah, I think it's only because of how bad it was before. Thibodeau might be awesome, but, you know.
That's a good point, bro, because if he plays solid, all right, that's going to be impact right off the bat.
Carrie Feliciano, any chance we can get a buffoon crew tailgate going this year for one of the games? Maybe. We'll think about that.
Yeah. 9 home games this year, bro.
Yeah, that's right. 9 home games.
9 home games.
Lisa, we love you. Chris kind of answered that already with who he thinks. Here we go. The Godfather of Brooklyn. Now, this is a good one.
I haven't heard from him in a while.
Yeah. All right. So he's asking two questions. All right. I'll ask both. Who are some players we should keep an eye on who could make the 53 after camp? Is it too early for that, Chris?
Two guys that can make the 53. You know what? What does he mean by undrafted free agents?
I think so.
Yeah, yeah. Look, we talked about it a little bit.
Yeah.
You got to watch this Yusef Corker kid. Yeah. You got to watch the running back.
Any of those tight ends that you like?
I can't really tell you.
Yeah. That's a good point.
I can't really tell yet. The one kid is, the kid from Nebraska is huge. I mean, he is tall. But in camp, we'll answer that. That'll be, we'll get a better feel on that, man.
His second question, 1 through 4 iconic New York sports moments, right? First one he names, the Mookie dribbler in 86. He named these. Chris, please, don't.
I used to love The Godfather, too, man.
I know. The Mateau Game 7 winner in 94.
Okay.
All right. Eli Manning catch in 07. Allen Houston shot in 99. So...
Allen Houston.
So for me,
I'm not gonna go with
those.
Oh,
first,
he wants you to rank 1 through 4.
1 through 4. I'll go first.
Oh, gotcha. Okay.
So Allen Houston, because that team didn't win a championship, I'm putting that fourth.
Yeah, I agree with you. Yep.
If I'm being selfish, I'm putting Eli 1, and Mookie 2, then Mateau.
Right.
But to be honest, New York wise, Mookie might be 1, followed by Eli, then Mateau. But for me, it's Eli first, then Mateau.
Yeah, see, I'm going to go with the Eli, Jerry, because that was the Super Bowl.
Right.
You know, and they won the same thing.
Yeah, right.
That's why I'm going to go. I'm always fucked. Yeah, look, I always try to be, up straight, up front, straight and everything. So I'm going to go because that was the Super Bowl. Mookie thing was game 6.
That's fair.
I understand, New York and iconic moments for those buffoon Mets and all that crap. Whoever won a damn thing or come close to winning a damn thing since. But, and that was game 6. And the Mets had to go out and win another one after that.
That's
true. I'm going to go with the Eli, bro. Like you said, Allen Houston. And you want to talk about a Godfather of Brooklyn will remember this well, too. And Jerry, I'm sure you would. Forget about Allen Houston. How about when Larry Johnson hit that 3-pointer and got fouled against the Pacers that one?
That was huge.
So Allen Houston, right, Jerry, they didn't win it. In spite of Allen hitting that jump, they still wound up not winning the championship that year. So I'll go with Eli because the Super Bowl champion.
Another
person. Mateau, well, I don't know.
That's a smaller fan base, though. It just is. Hockey is not.
It's pretty iconic. It's a big moment.
It was, though. But, I mean, I would put Messier's game maybe even ahead of that one. Barely. The World Win Tonight one. The purpose of this podcast is to not take Chris down a horrific memory lane. So,
It's all part of the gig, man. It's all part of the gig. Mateau was up there too, man. I mean,
part of this, I'm actually not looking forward to, but I know the Yankees will go, they will struggle for a portion of it. And I'm looking, I can't wait to see the tweets going back and forth from you and people. I just think that's going to be hilarious. Cause I like both sides of this. There will be a time where the Yankees swoon a bit, and then the Yankee fans stop talking, and you're like, oh, where's everybody at? Everybody's quiet now.
No, it's just when you talk crap like Yankee fans talk, you just better win it all.
Here's one.
You're not here to win the wild card. You're here to win it all.
This guy, Thetis son, I don't know how to pronounce it, sent you a picture of the standings right now and said, hadn't heard Chris chirping about his tomato baseball team.
Yeah. All the one that beat you in the wild card last year. Yeah, that one. Yeah.
All right, we'll do a couple more. F at Big Blue the Truth. McFadden or Beavers, who has the best chance to start or more playing time? And what is – there you go. Too soon?
Too soon, bud. Sorry. I couldn't – I'd just be guessing if I gave you an answer. Couldn't tell you yet.
Buffoon Blue, I kind of answered yours already. I think 9 wins is my buffoon prediction. He's like, put your buffoon hats on, and if they play up the potential, so that's where I'm at. I will go Joey Z at Molten Center. Chris, what have you heard within the building of what the new regime is doing to reduce injuries? Anything?
I haven't heard anything about that. I know they're even guys last year, man, they're monitoring, everything's computerized with these guys, the way how much they're running and all that. But I haven't heard anything about as far as what they're doing drastically different. Yeah. Not yet. They could be. I just haven't heard about it.
Yep. One more. Rob Cosis, big Bolts fan down in Florida.
Big what, Jerry?
Bolts. Lightning.
Oh, Tampa. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Oh, you talk about a tortured fan base. Whoa. Go ahead.
What, Tampa?
Toronto, the Leafs.
Oh, my God, I know.
Who they just beat in game 7.
Yeah, no, I was like, wait, the Bulls? Yeah, no, they totally. They haven't won a series since 2003.
Yeah, man, I tell you.
Something like that? Life, ridiculous. Yeah. And it's like hockey capital, no?
Yeah, I mean, they got a real good team, and they haven't won a damn thing. Not even a series that could they win, you know?
The Islander fans love that. Rob Cosis. Why does everyone make a big deal of strength of schedule? It's a joke. Heard an excited Eagles fan on the radio today. Shake my head. So many other variables can factor during the season. Good luck with the Rangers, Jerry. Go Bolts. Buffoon. Hashtag buffoon crew. Yeah, I mean, that's all we have to go by, though, Rob. You know, like I just kind of made the argument that I think the Giants can get 9 wins based on the fact that their schedule's weak. So it's all we have. You know, they haven't started playing yet, man. I get it. And the Eagles, you know what? I hate them. And I use the word hate carefully. But I hate them. They have a reason to be excited because if Jalen Hurts works out, they're going to be a good team. If he doesn't, it's going to be, you know, like every other year outside of 2017 for them. So,
yep, we'll see, man. Well said. We'll see when the schedule, when these teams look like. So,
all right, my buddy, nice job. Anything else?
No, that's it.
All right, guys. Yep. To order a subscription to The Giant Insider, which just mailed out, go to www.thegiantinsider.com and go to magster.com for a digital subscription. That's M-A-G-Z-T-E-R. Remember, guys, Sundays are Giant days. Take care, everybody.